Please be seated. It's good to see you again, and thanks, Ben, for leading us as you have into the presence of God as we prayed, as we sang praises. And we're going to continue in prayer before him now. It's good to share the things that trouble us and also the things that make us happy with God, because if he is the king of all the world and all the universe, then he is the one that we ought to be thankful for, but also to look to in all the things that happen in our lives. So let's come before God. Let us talk to him in prayer. Let us pray. Once again, Father, we thank you that you hear your people, that you love it when your people talk with you. And we want to share the things that fill us with joy. And perhaps each one of us here right now will think of one thing, or maybe two, to say thank you for. So hear us in the quietness as in our heart we speak to you. Father, we thank you for family and for friends. We thank you for health. We thank you for food. We thank you for safety. We thank you for this land in which we live. We thank you, O Father, for friends who care for us, for this church, and indeed wherever we travel in this land, that we may find a people who love God, who want to gather with him on the Sunday. We thank you that we can do that together tonight and can do that with freedom. Father, we pray though that you would hear us as we talk perhaps over the things that trouble us. Maybe there's someone who's upsetting us. Maybe we're upset because we've hurt somebody, and we need to not only ask their forgiveness, but yours too. Perhaps, Father, we are concerned for someone who is not well. Maybe it's us. Maybe there are pressures on our life, and we don't know how we're going to face tomorrow. But we thank you that you do, that you are in control of all things. Help us to trust you. Help us to do what we can that is good. Help us not to be nasty but kind. Help us to be careful, not lazy. But help us above all to trust you. For unless you bless, unless you purpose to make our doing good, nothing of good will come. We know that. We pray for those who are far from us, family and friends, those who are travelling, those who live in different cities, different towns in this country or perhaps overseas. We remember friends who have gone overseas to serve Jesus, to help people, but above all to tell people about Jesus, that he is your son and the saviour of the world. He's the one they need to know in their lives. We thank you for the Bible, and we thank you for the story that Jesus told that we've just read. Help us now as we turn to it to learn from the words of Jesus. Is there something we need to hear from you, Father? Help us to hear it. Is there something we need to do because of what you teach us? Help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we come back to God's word and to the story that Jesus told. It's a story about weddings. Weddings, of course, are special times in the life of a man and a woman, and also for their family and friends. It's a time of great joy, isn't it? We celebrate with them as they get married. We love being there at the wedding service, when they make their promises to each other, and I think we really enjoy being with them after, as we have a meal with them. There's food and there's drink, There's fun, there's laughter, and maybe some dancing as we share with the couple the beginning, the first day, the first meal of their married life. Well, the story we have here is about a king whose son was getting married. And he sends out the invitation to many people to come and enjoy the party, the wedding feast. It's a great honour to be invited. And I'm sure most people would have been full of joy at the thought of coming. Now, as we listen to this story of Jesus, we need to remember that each of these special stories that Jesus told were to teach something special about God and how God speaks into our lives, to teach us something about God's love, His kindness, His mercy. But as we listen to this story and remember that, I wonder if you were here 2 months ago and began to think, haven't we had this story before? Haven't we already heard it? Well, yes, we did hear a story from Jesus about a special dinner. We heard there the people who were given an invitation to celebrate and how they didn't come. That they knew that this special dinner was going to happen, but while they were waiting, they found other things to do. But when the day of the dinner arrived, and they were now called to come and party together, well, these other things that they had found to do had become much more important to them than the dinner. They didn't think the dinner was as important after all. And so they didn't come. By that story, Jesus was teaching that many people knew that God was going to do something special in this world. Something that would change people's lives, lives that were damaged by sin. With Jesus coming into the world and by his death paying for that sin, the Bible tells us that day has come. The people were called to believe in Jesus and to know the full joy of friendship with God because of Jesus. But the people in Jesus' day weren't interested. Though they had been told this day was coming and to be ready for it, they weren't interested when it came. They were not interested in Jesus. They were not interested in his life. They were not interested in his teaching. They were not interested in what his death was about. So God sent the good news to other people, we read in that story. People who hadn't heard, who didn't have this message passed down from one family to the next and across the generations. And the message went to them to come into friendship with God through believing in Jesus. Many did. Many still are. Many who are here tonight, that's why they're here. They heard the message and they came to see the truth about Jesus and came to trust in him. Yet many in the country where Jesus had lived missed out. Even though many around the world and across the years heard, believed, and are enjoying friendship with God. But that's the story we heard. And it sounds very much like the story we're hearing now. The difference is that Jesus told that story early on when he was teaching. As we read in Matthew's Gospel, this story comes just before Jesus died. You know, sometimes we tell a story, such a good story, that we'll tell it again. And I've been here for 13 years, And I'm sure there are some of the stories I've told people are thinking, John, we've heard that before. But that's not really what Jesus is doing. He's not telling the same story twice. He's using the first story, but now making it like part two, bringing out more information. Yes, in this story we see that there is still a dinner to which people have been invited. But now we're told that the dinner is a wedding feast. Not just a rich man's feast, but a king's wedding feast to honour his son. He wants to celebrate the wedding of his son, and he wants his people to celebrate with him. And yes, just like before, people who had been invited in the end did not come. But this time we're told a little bit more. Not only that they were busy doing other things, we are told that they became very nasty in the way that they treated the servants of the king. They beat them up. They attacked them. And some even killed servants who brought this wonderful news that the king's son was getting married. Well, Jesus said that the king was not very happy about this, and it's not hard to see why. The king loved his son, wanted to honour his son, but the people were dishonouring the son. They disrespected the king, they rejected his kindness, they rebelled against his rule. And so the king sent soldiers against these rebels and punished them, destroying their homes and killing those who were murderers. And just as we saw in what looks like part one of the story, he then invited people from all over the place to come. Go to the street corners. It's like standing out front of Flinders Street Railway Station. At peak traffic, as people come, grab them, invite them in. Go to the places where there are plenty of people and bring them in. These are people who didn't expect to come, who don't think there was anything special in their lives that would let them come. People who had nothing to offer as they came. People who would be a little bit nervous, embarrassed about their lives when they came. And Jesus shows this by using a picture of the clothes these people would wear. The garments. They had nothing special. I'm sure when you are invited to somewhere for a party, you go and look in your wardrobe and there is something you can wear. Or if not, you will go to the shop and find something that will be just right for that party. But Jesus in the story is really saying these people were just come straight from the street. They came as they were. They had nothing special to wear. But that was okay, for the king had a special gift for each person who came. He gave them a new set of clothes to wear, a special wedding garment so that they could be together with the son at his wedding. They would be able to come with joy and peace and celebrate together. And you know, that is so much like God. God loves to give gifts. He does it all the time. All we have to do is to look around and we see the good gifts God gives to each one of us. And maybe we should do that a little bit more. Sometimes we're too cranky. We're not thankful enough. We ought to see the good things that God does, the gifts he gives in the world, the gifts he gives in our own lives. Even in this story, those who rejected the invitation yet still had a gift, for they received an invitation. It's especially true that those who come to the wedding, which is a picture of believing in Jesus. By this story, Jesus is telling that God gives us everything we need to be with him, to have a place in the feast, to enjoy the feast, so that we don't have to worry that we're not really good enough, that we're not really pleasing God, that our lives are not right, though they're not. But let's get back to the special story. There's more to see here. All who came found that the king had this special gift for them, this new set of clothes to put on, and they do. Well, almost all do. And it's not long before the king notices, for one was not wearing the garment gift. You know, when I was reading this earlier this week and thinking about it, I remember seeing a picture of white cats. All these white cats, they looked different, different sizes, their ears were different, had different faces. They were doing different things, but they were all cats, they were all together, they were all white. But my eye suddenly saw there was a black one. And all the white cats sort of just became a picture of white, because all I could see was the black cat. And thinking, how did you sneak into this picture? He looks so out of place amongst all the white cats. Well, that's what the king thinks too in Jesus' special story. There is someone who is out of place. Someone who seems to have snuck in, that is not dressed like everybody else. And the king doesn't like it. You see, here's a person who didn't think he needed the king's gift. He thought his clothes were good enough, special enough. He thought that the king should accept how he thinks about himself, rather than recognizing the king says, I'm the one who will make you acceptable to me and for this party to honor my son. And you know, many people are like that with God. They think that if there is a God, then he should be pleased with them, happy with them. He should be happy how they live their life. He should be happy with what they do for other people, even for him. He should be happy with how they think about themselves. That's really what is important. I'm happy with me, so you should be also, God. This is how I think I should be, so that should be enough for you, God. I wonder how God will think about that. As they present their lives before God, what will God say to them? Well, actually, we don't have to wonder, for Jesus in this special story tells us that the king has this man removed. He gets his servants to tie him up, to drag him out, and to throw him into outer darkness, into a place of darkness, of suffering and sorrow, from which there is no escape. It's not a pleasant future for him. That's the warning of the story of Jesus, of what happens to those who think that their lives are good enough, that the way that they think, the way that they feel, the way that they treat others, the way that they honour God, listen to his word, that that's good enough. Who think of the goodness and love of God, but think little of his glory, of his holiness, that he's super special and different. It may seem strange that having made such an effort to get guests to come in, that the king would throw one out for what he is wearing. But there are important truths being taught here. For though the man thought he was good, he really was no better than the other people who refused to come. They treated the king on their terms. He's still treating the king on his terms. In fact, it's even worse because they did it from a distance. He did it in the king's presence. He did it seeing the king's son. It was a greater insult, and the king rejected him, and it was not pleasant for him. Now, this story speaks of those who hear about Jesus but are not excited about the gift that God gives through Jesus, the gift that God will give to honour his son. Instead, they are shown to think little of God and little of the Son of God, Jesus, and yet think that God must welcome them, must treat them kindly in life, and when they die, that he will welcome them into his eternal kingdom. Others, however, receive the good news. They will understand that it's only by God's gift in Jesus that any of us can come into his presence and celebrate. Nothing else can bring it about but having this special set of clothes that God gives through Jesus. But what is the king's gift? What is the garment that the king provides, the special clothes that God as the eternal king gives to those who believe in his son Jesus? Well, if you go back into the first half of the Bible, known as the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 61 and verse 10, we read of those who believe the news that God's special servant is coming, the Son of God, the one whose name we sang, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And these who believe in the coming one, we are told there, rejoice just like a bridegroom getting dressed for his wedding, just like a bride putting on her jewelry ready for the wedding. And they're so excited, so full of joy. Why? Well, God tells us there, they are singing, for God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. God clothes the ones that believe in Jesus with righteousness. You see, we can't stand in the presence of God because we don't have righteousness. We're not right with God. We have sin. And God sees that sin. We're not like the white cats. We're like the black cat. Sin makes us stand out against all that is good and holy and right before God, that indeed God is himself. So we need something to deal with the blackness of our lives, the sin of our lives. We need something to cover us. We need to be right before God. We need a righteousness. But where do we get that? It doesn't come because we bring it when we hear about Jesus. But when we hear about Jesus and we believe in him, God gives it to us, the righteousness that Jesus purchased for us. His son has it. He came to live an obedient life for his people, and in his death to take away our disobedience and its stain on our lives. By the gift of his righteousness, we stand before God, just as Jesus, the Son of God, stands before God. We're just like him in God's eyes, because we're wearing his clothes. His perfect obedience is now ours. We are righteous just like Jesus. That is how God honours his Son. And with his Son, how we honour God. And celebrate in his presence. But Jesus adds here that although everyone who hears the gospel has been invited, and although many claim to love Jesus, it's only those who are dressed with Christ's righteousness that can stay with God and can enjoy that friendship with him forever. And today, God is inviting everyone here to make sure they know that they can come. And if you haven't come, he is saying, come now. But it doesn't depend upon how good you are. You have to receive God's gift through Jesus. It's the only way. You come knowing that he will give you everything you need to share in the joy of friendship with God through Jesus, because of Jesus. But sadly, many are invited that don't come. But those who are called, called in the heart, called by God, as the word is preached, they find themselves drawn to Jesus and they believe. They're the ones who will have the king's garment, the king's special gift, and be accepted forever. How do you know that you are one of those called ones? Those who say yes to the call of God to believe in Jesus, who receive the special gift of Jesus' perfect obedience, they're the ones who are the chosen. They know they need this gift, and by faith they cry out for it and receive it, so that they may live with God just as Jesus does. The question really is not, am I one of the chosen? The question is, am I trusting in Jesus? If you are, then the first question's answered. Jesus, in your life, answers the question of your life and brings you into the celebration of the wedding of the Son of God with his people. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for the teaching of Jesus. We thank you that once again he is calling us to believe in him and saying, you don't have to bring anything. We're glad to hear that, because we know we can bring nothing. Even the good that we do is still affected by sin, made dirty by sin in your sight. Oh, how we need Jesus to be our saviour from sin, to take away the punishment that we deserve through his death upon the cross, to give that to us, but also his perfect obedience, this garment of righteousness, wrapping our lives in the reality of his obedience, that what he did becomes what we have done in your sight. We thank you that that's the good news of the Bible, that you come to us and you make us ready to come to you. We pray that everyone here will know that. In Jesus' name, amen.